The remnant there that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet I will gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Let's pray. Father, I need your help this morning. Pray that you just speak through me. Pray that you'd have me not to say anything that shouldn't be said, that it would just be you. Pray, Father, that you'd be in the hearts of every individual in this room, that maybe you'd show them things in their lives that maybe an area where they're not right. Father, is an area maybe they have a burden. Pray, Father, that you would just work and that you would do it. It wouldn't be anything that I've done, but that what you've done. We love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Sorry, I'm a little dry this morning. But have you ever received a phone call from someone, and you knew as soon as you picked up the phone that it wasn't good news? Could be maybe a family member calling and saying, sorry, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister has passed away. Or maybe it was a phone call from a doctor saying, hey, we ran some tests, and I'd like you to come in. I need to discuss the results with you. You went in, and they gave you news of maybe it was a critical, fatal illness. And no one ever likes receiving good news. I mean, bad news, sorry. Everyone likes to hear good news. Bad news is never fun to receive. I don't think I've ever met anyone that says, man, I love to hear bad news. Now, if you watch the news on TV, you're just asking for it there because it's mostly bad news and not good news. But here in this passage, we see Nehemiah, a servant of God, get some bad news. And I think there's some lessons that we can learn from his life here in this passage. You see, it had been 150 years since they've been placed in captivity there at Jerusalem. And they first came from the Babylonians, and then the Persian Empire came and invaded and took over and became the big nation of the world, the Persian Empire. And during the time of captivity, the Jews had an opportunity to go back twice to start rebuilding the temple and start to reestablish worship, because they knew the reason that they were in the predicament that they were in. It was because of their sin. They went against God and went against by marrying other nations and by worshiping idols. And the Lord said, you know what? If that's what you're going to do, I'm then going to scatter you abroad. And it didn't just start, though, with the people, though. It started with King Solomon. The Bible says he loved many wives, and he built altars for his wives and worshiped false gods. And the Lord said, now I'm going to divide your kingdom and separate you and start that process. Well, the children of Israel had times that they were repentant, had times where they were not, where they were following God. There's kings like Hezekiah that came and broke down and utterly destroyed all the groves and all the idols, but they still went back to it. And here now, they've been 150 years in captivity, and the temple has been built. Ezra went back and was part of that, but the persecution was still very, very the norm, because when Ezra went back, he faced opposition from those in that province, and they would continually battle and fight and battle and fight, not like physically, but politically, if that were to make sense. But the persecution didn't stop when the temple was built. The persecution continued. And that's a reminder that to us this morning that Satan never stops. He's always battling. He's always fighting. He's always pushing us. And when Hanani and the other men of Judah came, Nehemiah's primary concern was the condition of his people and Jerusalem. Their response was honest. They didn't sugarcoat it. In verse 3 it says, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So here you have Nehemiah. He's in the palace. It's around the month of what we would call month of December. And his brethren, Hanani, which the Bible says his brethren, so it could be his brother, it could be a family member, but he saw him, and his response was he asked how things were. He asked how the people were. And the walls were broken down in the city, and the gates of Jerusalem were all burned with fire, and they were in ruins, and Nehemiah saw that, and he heard that. But isn't it true that Satan wants your life to be the same way? He wants your life to be in ruins. He wants the walls broken down in your life, and he doesn't want you to be worshiping God. He doesn't want you to be doing things for God. But walls are essential to keep out the influence and enemies from coming into the city. That was the purpose. So as they were fighting with the different provinces and the governors there, we need the wall. We need something to protect us, to keep out that influence. And so I want us to see Nehemiah this morning as the picture of a burdened man. Nehemiah, his position was where his burden began. Nehemiah was just a man simply serving and doing his job. He was the king's cupbearer. Now, the king's cupbearer was an important position. He was like the butler, but he would also, anything the king would eat or drink, he would get first dibs. And if the king was poisoned, Nehemiah would get first dibs on dying first. And so, what a job, right? But, hey, you got to eat of all the good things that the king got the best meat, he got the best food, he got the best drinks, he got the best of everything, and here he was, he got to be a part of it. But as the king's cupbearer, he was also privy to maybe being part of when there was important meetings. So some of those governors and the rulers of the province there around Jerusalem, they probably came and they sat and met with the king, because remember, Persia is the big empire of the time. And he would hear news. Oh, those people at Jerusalem, they just keep causing a problem for us, king, and we just need to do something about it. And Nehemiah would probably hear about how things were happening. And here he is in an important role. And the king would maybe, the purpose of the king, he would listen to matters of the people, right? They'd come and bring matters to him. And I'm sure maybe at the end of the day, he'd be walking away from his throne and telling Nehemiah, man, that was a rough one, man. That last person, they had all this and this and that. I mean, what would you have done? And he could have been a strong confidant to the king. And his position was important in that he could have the ear of the king. But he was just a simple man. The Bible doesn't say that he was extravagant, that he was anything to write home about, but he was just a simple man serving in his position and doing his job. But if he had not been in that position, would the Lord been able to use him in the way that he did? What a picture of being in the center of God's will. That is, when we're in the center, where we're God is, where we're, if we are where God wants us to be, guess what? That's the best place you can be, and that's where God can use you the most. And what a picture of that this is. But what a picture of that he was willing to leave, living in a palace, then to go follow a burden that God had laid on his heart. You know, God may put you in a position, whether it's a job, or it's sitting on a board of some sort, and there's going to be times where it might be uncomfortable, but always remember that God has put you there, and he has a reason for you to be there. God may have you there as a reason to witness to someone. You know, at your work, you can reach someone that maybe I can't. And we should be doing it. But because he was where God was wanted him to be, that's where the Lord was able to give him that burden. And when you're where God wants you to be, guess what he's going to do? He's going to give you a burden. He's going to give you a burden. He's going to give you a desire, a want to do more for him. But if you look in verse 4, you see Nehemiah's response shows how heavy the burden of his people affected him, how heavy it was on him. It says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." His response showed here that it was news that he wasn't expecting. So here you have Nehemiah. He's hearing, how's everything going back home? And he gets told the news. The Bible says he sits down. He begins to weep. He begins to mourn the people and what has happened. Then it says he prays and he fasts. And it just doesn't say, it says certain days. He prayed for days because he had a burden in the heart for his people. And what a picture that is. And you can see that it weighed on him and how his response, how it affected him. You could see that the burden was real in his life. And he could have, you know what he could have done? When they came, he could have said, "Hey, how's things going back home?" And they said, "Oh man, it's not good." And he could have said, "Oh, okay, well, that's fine." And he could have just brushed it off or buried his head in the sand. No. I don't need to have a burden for these people. I'm doing great here in the palace. Man, I have everything. I'm right, get to be with the king, hang out with the king. I have everything that I need. But Nehemiah didn't do that because you know what? That wasn't his heart. His heart was that a heart to serve God, because you see multiple times in this chapter he says that he's a servant. He calls himself a servant. That's what he wants to be. He wants to be known as a servant. You know, his response was a response of worship and prayer. But it reminds you of another person's response in the Bible, Job. Job had a terrible day. Lost everything. Lost his wealth, his riches, his family. And what was Job's response? He fell on his face and worshiped. Whenever there's times of heaviness in our lives, what is our response? Whenever there's times of trials in our life, what is our response? You know, by sitting down, he was showing his humility to God. And it showed he has had a love for his people. And what is our response when we hear news that? Do we maybe like bury our head in the sand? "Oh man, this person's sick and they need to be saved." And we're like, "Okay, well," and you pray for him once, and that's the last thing you do, the last time you pray for him. But when is the last time we had a burden whenever we've heard bad news, whenever we've gotten a response that wasn't what we were wanting to hear? When was the last time that you wept over someone who was lost? When was the last time you wept over a situation and you saw that there's a need and there's a desire there? When was the last time you prayed? When you heard a need and there was a burden that was presented, did you catch that burden? Or is it, well, that's someone else, they'll be fine, it'll pass, it'll be, you know, it is what it is. You know what, folks? If we had servants just like Nehemiah, a church full of servants just like Nehemiah, people that had a burden, that had a desire, that wanted to, whenever they heard the news of maybe a missionary that has a need, that got on their knees and prayed and wept and fasted and spent time with God saying, Lord, there's a burden, there is a need, I want to give it to you. And his emotions were proof of his burden. His weeping was, it showed his humanity. We're going to cry. Whenever we hear, if I heard the news of losing a loved one, I'm not going to be like, oh, okay. No, I'm going to cry. I'm going to weep. And that's a normal human emotion. Jesus himself, when Lazarus died, and he went to the tomb, and the people there were mourning and weeping, and guess what Jesus did? He did the same thing. Because he was just as much God as he was man. And he was weeping. And we get ourselves into trouble when we dwell on our emotions and when we don't focus on the one who can change it. And it's not that we need to be in a pity mode of a pity party, oh, woe is me, but it is in the mode that, Lord, I have a burden. I'm giving this to you. I'm burdened about this. I'm sad about this. I don't like what this news is. And I have a heart for this person. I have a heart for this situation. You may be here this morning, you may have a burden. It may be a burden that you've carried for years. It could be a recent event that you're burdened about. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a burden. Don't let Satan fool you, saying, you're just being a sissy because you have a burden. Don't let Satan fool you. We need to be burdened. We need to be burdened for the lost. We need to be burdened for those in other countries who our missionaries are going and trying to reach. We need to have a burden. We need to have a burden, folks, about how our church is growing. Look what God is doing. I mean, we were given a bus for free. And we need to have a burden to see kids and people riding on that bus and coming to church and getting saved and growing in the Lord and serving God and growing up and going off maybe some get called into ministry. We need to have a burden for that. And when we fail to have a burden for it, we are just saying, you know what? We're just going to bury our head in the sands. Let's get on fire and let's have a burden for it and see what God can do. And Nehemiah here, if he would have just neglected and forgotten about it, he wouldn't have been able to do what he wouldn't be able to be used of God to do what God wanted him to do here. And it says, and he mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. If you look in chapter 2, it's 4 months before he goes before the king. 4 months. You know, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayer right away. Sometimes he takes and does it in his time. You know, we live in an Amazon-type society today, right? We want it prime. We want it next day. We want it same day delivery sometimes. And I'm one of those people that whenever I order something and it's something that I really am excited about, I want it here like within the hour. Granted, that doesn't happen. But I remember as a kid, I'd order a game or something like that. And then I'd be saying, Mom, can I go check the mail? Can I check the mail? It's 3 o'clock. The mail's here. I run, check the mail, open the mailbox. It's not here. Okay. And I'd be all bummed and sad the rest of the day. And then eventually it would come and I'd be excited. And it's because our fleshly desires, our human nature, we want our answer right now. But God doesn't always provide the answer right now. And God will give us a burden. And sometimes he's just starting to prime the pump. He's just saying, hey, I'm giving you a burden for this. This is coming down the line. I want you to have a burden. But don't ignore it. Nehemiah didn't ignore it. He stuck to it. And you know what he did with his burden? He gave it to God. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All your care. Not just some of it, all of it. Give your burdens. Take your burdens to the Lord, and he will take it. And he, folks, when we die, and we're going to die someday, you spend eternity in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. And it's real. And the Lord doesn't want anyone to spend eternity in hell. That's not what hell was created for. But can I tell you, because of our sin, because we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And it says, for the wages, the penalty, the payment for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins so that we could spend eternity with him in heaven. And here, Nehemiah, what a picture of salvation here. Where he was, it's not that he's getting saved, but he was confessing his sins and the sins of the people because he knew if God was going to do a work, they needed to be right with him. And so if you're here and you're not saved, if you want God to save you, if you want to spend eternity in heaven, if you want to be removed from maybe that burden in your life, maybe you've been struggling with drugs and alcohol and all sorts of wickedness. If you want to be free from that, God's the one, only one that can free you from that. And if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And here, you know what? It says in Psalm 147:3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You might be here and you might be broke. You might have a life that's falling apart, but guess what? God can heal up your wounds. You might be here and you might be broken in sin, and sin might be honing in on your life and consuming your life and burning your life. But you can just go to a God. And salvation starts first with conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts you. Recognize you're a sinner. Recognizing the fact that there's sin in your life. But then guess what? All you got to do is confess it. Lord, I've done so many wicked things. I need you to save me from it. I can't do it on my own. He's got to do it. And then, so you have conviction, confession, and then calling out to God. Just call out to him. He can save you. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The word contrite means to be crushed or to be squeezed. A broken man will praise God and confess to be right. And you know what? If we have a burden right now, we can have a burden, but if we're not broken, then the Lord's not going to take away our burden. Right. We have to be broken. We have to come to God broken. And in verses 8 through 10, he reminded God about his promise. And it says in verse 8, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses. Saying, Lord, remember what you told Moses? And that if we transgress, you're going to scatter us. But if we turn unto you, Lord, and keep your commandments and do them, though we were cast out, you'll gather and bring us to the place you've chosen your name there. And now we thy servants, the people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and strong hand. He's reminding the Lord, you promised that if we return to you, if we turn back to you, that you would bring us back, that you would be the one that would restore us, that you would be the one that redeemed us. He was reminding him of, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, you can read that maybe this afternoon, how God made a promise to children of Israel, and it's the exact same verbiage that Nehemiah is pointing out. It kind of shows that Nehemiah knew his Bible, and it showed his relationship with God there. You know, the sin of the children of Israel is why Jerusalem was in ruin. You know, when we get away from God, there's times that, guess what? He has to bring us to a place where we realize we're away from God. And he sometimes has to make us broken to where we come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. I can't do this. I've been living in sin. I've been doing wrong. I've been following after things I shouldn't follow after you. I've been watching things on TV I shouldn't be watching. I've been doing drugs. I've been drinking alcohol. I've been going back to that fleshly, worldly life that I've been in. And I need your help. I need to be broken. I need to come back to you. And if you look in Psalm 38, I want us to see an example of how David, a man after God's own heart, how he approached that. So turn to Psalm 38 with me this morning. Thank you so much for your attendance. You all have been wonderful. Psalm 38. And we're going to look at verse 4. And think about this. Put the lens on here. You see David's burden. But I want us to see that he's burdened about the sin that he has in his life. But he's also broken about it. If you look in verse 4, it says, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy, what's that next word? Burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stick and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I'm troubled I'm bound down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and sore. What's that next word? Broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me, as the light of my eyes, it also is gone from me. So here you have David. He's broken. He's burdened about the sin that he has. He says, for my iniquities are gone over my head. They're so heavy on me. The sin is so heavy. And you may be here this morning, and that sin in your life is so heavy upon your life. And it is drowning, and you feel like you're suffocating. You feel like you cannot escape. But can I tell you that no matter how far you are away from God, you can always come back to Him. And I'm so thankful that we have a God that will always let us come back to Him whenever we fail Him. But if you look at verse 18 through 22, it says, for I will declare my iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. But my enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. You know what he did? He confessed and said, you know who my salvation is? It's God. He's the one that can save me. He's the only one that can save me. But Nehemiah's brokenness showed that he had a desire to be used of God. If you look in verse 11, it says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. Hear me, Lord. Hear the people who desire to fear thy name and prosper. He knew it wasn't going to be without the Lord's help. And the Lord called him to do something. I'm your servant, Lord, whatever you would have me to do. I'm willing to do it. And it says, and grant me mercy in the sight of this man. This man, it says, meaning in that passage, that's the king. Grant me mercy in front of the king. Lord, I can't do this on my own. You're going to have to be the one to do it. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. If we come to God broken, He's not going to despise us. Say, Lord, here's my burden. I'd like to illustrate it this way. Levi, can you come here, bud? What happens in our lives, and this is in closing, what happens in our lives, I'm going to illustrate what we've talked about this morning this way. What happens is we face different burdens in our lives, whether it's sin, whether it's a circumstance, and we have a burden. So Levi, put this on. And that could be the burden of sin. Maybe you have sin in your life that you need to get settled and you need to get right. Or maybe as a burden of a loved one that's not saved. And guess what? You carry it around. Or maybe the Lord's given you a burden to work with kids in church. I'm not going to be able to zip that up. He's leaning. But you guys get the picture. And we carry it around. I want you to walk to the piano. Is that heavy?
Not really.
A little bit? Oh, I'll add another one. But here's the thing. We carry it around. We carry it around, and we say, well, we have a burden, Lord. We have a burden. But it's until we come down to an altar. Amen. Here. Yeah. And take that burden. Yeah. And get down. Sit down like Nehemiah did. Woo! And then we start to weep, and we start to give it to God. And guess what? Let go. We let go of the burden and leave it here at this altar and let God have our burdens. Yeah. And we come broken before Him. And He's the only one that can fix us. He's the only one that can heal us. Let's be the ones that fall before God with our burdens, with our problems, everything, because He's the only one that can fix it. So let's this morning, let's do this. This morning, thank you, you may be seated, bud. Let's do this this morning. Sorry, I'm a little fired up about this. Let's be like Nehemiah. Let's not ignore our burdens. Let's listen to what God's saying. Let's listen to what God's burning your heart for. Maybe God's burning your heart to be someone that drives that bus. Maybe God's burning your heart as someone that needs to go help teach a junior church class. Maybe God's burning your heart to want to be involved in music. Maybe God's burning your heart to see that coworker saved. Maybe God's burning your heart to see a neighbor saved. Maybe God's burning your heart to want to do more for missions. Maybe God's burning your heart to get rid of the sin that you have in your life. Maybe he wants to use everyone here. And I don't want to sound like a TV preacher, but God wants everyone to be used of Him. And only you can make that choice. So this morning, if you're here, you have a burden. Let's do this. Let's just come forward and give it to God.
Amen.
Let's get it settled. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Thank you for your attention.